Welcome to the Provincetown Town Manager and Staff 4th of July update and conversation with the community. I'm Amy Davies from Provincetown Community Television. This is a remote session taking place on July 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. The session is scheduled for 1.5 hours and will end promptly at 8:30 p.m. Tonight, we're going to begin with all callers muted to prevent interference in the audio. As you know, open microphones and speakerphones make it difficult for everyone to hear. Please also mute any televisions or computer speakers before you speak. Press star 6 to unmute and ask your question. Please return to mute while your question is being answered. The panel will take questions from callers and also answer questions submitted in advance by email. Duplicate email questions have been combined. The town manager, Robin Craver, along with town staff, including assistant town manager and community development director, David Gardner, police chief, Jim Golden, health director, Morgan Clark, Department of Public Works Director Rich Waldo, Transportation Coordinator Erin Ellis will provide information and answer questions regarding preparations for the upcoming 4th of July weekend, as well as the upcoming summer season. They will also discuss and answer questions regarding the incident that happened at George's Pizza and what businesses should do if a similar situation happens. The town manager and staff will be joined by Board of Health Chair Steve Katsarinas, who will answer questions about the joint emergency order as well as BOH policy under which staff are operating. Now I will turn the call over to town manager Robin Craver to open the session.
Thank you, Amy, and welcome to all those joining us tonight. We set up this session to share information for the 4th of July and plans for the upcoming summer season. First, I'd like to acknowledge the excellent work the staff has done in keeping the town services available, generally without interruption through COVID. Many department staff have been working remotely and are moving back their operations into the building. I have some talking points to get to, letting you know what we are doing, but first, let me go off script. Giving you information is important, but more important is to let you know that we are listening to you. I've had many conversations and received many emails asking for consideration. I've been touched by the compassionate appeals for protecting Provincetown. I hear many of you are scared and feel powerless. You read posts that make you wonder why your government is letting you down. You are concerned that your police department is not there for you. I hear some of you are angry and want action. Please know we hear you. We also hear that we have struck an appropriate balance of enforcement, that our efforts have been appreciated, and that what we are doing is protecting the town. Walking down Commercial Street most days, people are amazed that we have 95% compliance regarding wearing a mask. It's generally understood we will never be at 100% due to medical conditions and some objectors. For over 6 weeks, we've had zero COVID cases. And that's at a time when the state was still escalating and now the nation has its highest new cases. Please know that the staff and I are doing all we can to contain the spread of the virus. If and when appropriate, we will pivot. The Board of Health will take action and you'll hear more from them later. We will get through this together. And let me get back to my talking points. The town of Provincetown is preparing to manage potential crowds this coming holiday weekend, and therefore will be seeking to find an appropriate balance of enforcement to allow both residents and visitors the ability to enjoy a safe holiday. Everyone is encouraged to celebrate in a responsible and safe way. And everyone must practice social distance to the extent that they can and wear a mask when they can't. The Board of Health and Code Enforcement will be monitoring restaurant and retail compliance with their industry standards over the holiday weekend. Business owners are reminded to be diligent in their business practices to ensure compliance with the state's workplace safety guidance so that all Provincetown visitors and workers are safe and protected from potential exposures to COVID-19. Business owners should be clear about their policies and expectations with customers, but should not try to deal with unruly and belligerent customers on their own, and should call the police before a situation gets out of hand. Residents who identify violations should contact compliance at provincetown-ma.gov, or you could leave a message at 508-487-7000, extension 555. This information will be on the web. Town staff will be checking these regularly, and if you identify a public safety emergency, please call police dispatch at 508-487-1212 or 911. The Community Ambassador Program will be formed this week, and those members will be available and on the street by Friday. The ambassadors will be out greeting people to create a friendly and welcoming atmosphere, providing masks and information to visitors, and ensuring that the public spaces get sanitized and remain clean. They will monitor the crowds in public spaces and coordinate with public safety and public works to ensure that things go as smoothly as possible. The town has installed picnic tables and additional porta potties throughout to help crowds participate in social distancing. We have installed more permanent signage to help compliance for mask wearing in the mask zone. As Amy mentioned in the opening, we are prepared to discuss preparations for the upcoming 4th of July, the upcoming summer season, and the incident that happened at George's Pizza and what businesses should do in a similar incident. I am joined by seasonal staff who have been regulating, cleaning, and protecting the town for many years. So let's get to them now. First, Police Chief Jim Golden will talk about his department's commitment to policing Provincetown and keeping it safe for all its residents, businesses, and visitors. Chief?
Thank you and good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Golden and I'm your Chief of Police. I wanted to take a few moments tonight to try to talk about a few things that have been quite the subject of conversation over the last few days. I suppose we should get right into, we'll start with talking about a brief overview of the incident that happened on Saturday night at George's Pizza. Now, you need to understand there's a limit to what I can discuss. This is an active case. This is an active criminal case. This is a case that is currently in the court, and there are other witnesses and other people involved that still need to be interviewed by detectives. So I may not be able to directly answer some questions, but hopefully if I give you an overview, you'll have a better understanding of the timeline of the incident that happened. So Saturday night, about 9:31, the police department received multiple calls for a disturbance inside of George's Pizza. The caller reported that the business owner had been assaulted, and the suspect who had left the scene was in the company of a group of people. Your police officers immediately responded to the scene. The first one arrived 1 minute later at 9:32, followed by a second at 9:34, and a third one 20 seconds later. The police officers gathered a description of the suspect, offered aid to the victim, and while this was going on, two officers immediately left in an attempt to locate the suspect. At 9:36, one of the police officers observed a group of people and an individual possibly matching the description provided by George's Pizza staff. These people were seen heading towards McMillan Pier. As the officers responded, our call center received a new report of individuals engaged in a fight in the same area. Police officers were on location and observed two individuals engaged in a physical altercation. This included the suspect from the prior assault at George's Pizza. The investigation revealed that this altercation was a continuance of the initial call, where of at least two employees from George's Pizza pursued the group and counted them, and when the police officers arrived, they were observed pushing, yelling, and screaming at each other. Officers were able to ascertain through their investigation that the employees of George's Pizza declined service to a group of patrons, which included the suspect. This group were carrying beverage cups into the shop, which were not provided by the establishment. These individuals were being unruly and were asked to leave by staff. This is when the assault on the business owner occurred. As a result of the officer's investigation, A suspect who is identified as Angel Gomez of Springfield, Mass. Was arrested. His detention happened 11 minutes after the initial call was received. The suspect was stopped and the investigatory process began 6 minutes after the call came in. Other parties present were asked if they wished to pursue criminal charges against each other, and all declined. I'd like to move on next as we talk about the police department's involvement with regard to the community mask policy enforcement and our strategy with regard to that. So the police department continues to take a community approach to the mask order and is working closely with the local Board of Health to help it succeed. But as with any community-based concern, in this case a public health emergency, opinions vary on the wearing of masks, and any community approach needs to be openly discussed and any response evaluated and changed as needed. Our approach to this issue is a compliance assistance one. When we receive a complaint, we attempt to locate the individual, educate the individual about the order and the importance of wearing a face covering to reduce the potential of their respiratory droplets reaching each other people. All of your police people, your police officers, and your community service officers carry free face masks to provide to people who need them. It stands to reason that people would respond to a health crisis with mandatory mask wearing and social distancing measures by putting on a mask and not congregating in crowds. But not everyone is reasonable. And some think the request to mask up is a personal provocation. Some people, because of a medical necessity or disability, are not required to wear a mask. And this can create a perception in some people's minds of general noncompliance. People must realize that oftentimes these conditions cannot be readily seen, and these people are already at high medical risk. With more businesses opening and others offering more capacity, a seasonal influx of visitors will continue to occur. The long-awaited phased reopening of our community should not come with the need for a law enforcement strategy should things get ugly. Businesses have an important role in the partnership effort. Businesses in Provincetown are not being asked to do anything in addition that similar businesses are being asked to do across the state. The state and the town's current mask order requires all individuals over 2 to wear a mask or a face cloth face covering in places that are opening to the public, which includes businesses, effective May 6th. This order also applies to all workers and customers of businesses open to the public that are permitted to operate. Supermarkets, pharmacies, and other essential businesses have been doing this for months. We expect some complaints that we are not doing enough, but so far we have not received as many as you would think. We will soon be deploying community ambassadors who will help and assist us in mask education, distribution, and community compliance. This key initial education component is one of the responses which should be deployed first, evaluated, and adjusted as needed in an effort to make our community safer. I believe that the residents and businesses of the community are doing a good job in complying with the order, and most are doing what are needed to protect themselves and others. If this means people now must employ personal strategies to ensure that they stay safe, such as ensuring physical distancing and ensuring they remove themselves from situations they perceive as dangerous, that's what they're going to have to do. For the first time in months, state officials on Tuesday reported 0 new deaths in Massachusetts due to the deadly coronavirus pandemic, an encouraging milestone that stood in stark contrast with other states that have seen recent spikes and new closings. We should reflect for a moment that currently we benefit from a nearly 95% voluntary wear rate with 0 active COVID cases in our community. There had been some questions and concerns about whether we were ready for the summer and are we ready for July 4th. We put together an operations plan for all large celebratory events. This year's is different, but because it's a weekend, we still do an operations plan, and we still staff sufficient people with reserve people to handle these events. Event management is something that's not new to your police officers. We do it all the time, from the beginning of the season to the end of the shoulder season. I was asked by the town manager to take a few moments and address a question about staffing this summer and why it may seem different. There are less seasonal employees this year. That's a fact. This decision was made nearly 2 months ago for a number of reasons, including budgetary ones. The result of this means that there are not seasonal police officers standing at street corners during the evening this summer. It does not mean, however, that there are not an adequate number of police people on duty. It means we have deployed them in a different fashion to be able to respond to all calls for service. This week, I provided to the town manager work watch schedules for the entire month of June, demonstrating our commitment to full staffing and serving the community that we love. Any seasonal change puts increased demands on all town employees. Police availability can change in an instant, and your number of police officers is not infinite. We maintain the same number of full-time police officers in the summer we do in the winter. Part of the role of any community police officer is to be out walking and being a member of the community. And during the month of June, your police officers did this in a dedicated manner approximately 70 times. That concludes my initial talking points, ma'am.
Thank you, Chief. Next, we have Assistant Town Manager and Community Development Director, David Gardner. He will discuss business-based compliance and enforcement.
Thank you, Robin. From a code compliant and enforcement standpoint, regulatory staff will be on the streets over the July 4th weekend, including Friday and Saturday nights. We'll be monitoring restaurant and retail compliance with the state's workplace safety standards so that all Provincetown residents, workers, and visitors are safe and protected from potential exposure to COVID-19. We understand that the public may have concerns and feel that some businesses may be pushing the limits. Residents who identify violations should contact compliance at provincetown-ma.gov or leave a voice message at 508-487-7000, extension 555. Town staff will be checking the voicemail regularly and will be investigating complaints lodged against businesses. Complaints will be tracked, triaged, and routed to the staff for follow-up. We do not regularly monitor Facebook for complaints, so if you expect us to investigate, please forward your complaints directly to staff. Our goal is compliance. We will continue to reach out and work with businesses to ensure that the standards are being followed. Again, the contact is compliance at provincetown-ma.gov or 508-487-7000, extension 555. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, David. Next, we have the Department of Public Works. Rich Waldo will talk about his department's effort to keep Provincetown clean and welcoming.
Thanks, Robin. Good evening, everyone. Your Public Works Department currently has roughly 210 trash and recycle barrels dispersed throughout town. The downtown barrels are changed twice a day, both morning and in the late afternoon. Weekend crews come in two shifts at 5 a.m. as well as 2 p.m. and takes approximately 4 hours per shift to change out these barrels. Additional barrels have been added to the waterfront park and other picnic areas, as well as other areas throughout town. In terms of public restrooms, we have the municipal parking lot bathrooms that are open 7 days a week. They are open Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Friday through Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. The town hall restrooms are also open from Friday through Sunday from 9:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. The firehouse bathrooms still remain closed at this time due to staffing shortages. We are currently reaching out and trying to get more staff for those bathrooms. And as soon as we do have them on board, we will open up those bathrooms. However, the Harbor Master's bathroom does remain open, and it remains open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. till midnight. We have portable toilets throughout town. We have some at the Waterfront Park, Johnson Street parking lot. We have some at the municipal parking lot near the courtesy float, as well as the municipal parking lot near the public restrooms. We have restrooms at the Court Street Town Landing, Mata Field, the East End Playground, as well as the Grace Hall parking lot. Most of these toilets are serviced daily. There are a few that are only serviced Thursday through Monday, based on their use. For hand wash stations, we have four dispersed throughout town. We have one at the Waterfront Park, we have one at the Johnson Street parking lot, we have one at the municipal parking lot near the restrooms, as well as one at the Court Street Town Landing. These hand wash stations are serviced daily, Thursday through Monday. I'd like to take this moment to address an image that's been circulating around social media depicting a hand wash station that was heavily used and appeared to be mismanaged. That hand wash station was at the Waterfront Park. These hand wash stations have been in use since the middle of April. And at that time, we were only servicing them on Fridays and Monday mornings. So basically at the start of the weekend and at the end of the weekend. 2 weeks ago, we had switched that schedule to service them Thursday through Monday. So 5 days a week they get serviced. For some reason, the scheduling didn't happen on that Waterfront Park. I had contacted them, this service at Frazier's, as soon as I found out about the incident, contact them and identified this problem. It has since been updated, and they are now being serviced Thursday through Monday. We are still working on trying to obtain hand sanitizer stations. There is a real struggle on obtaining these dispensers that can be used throughout town. We have called several suppliers, and most of them are backordered for 8 months. We have been reaching out to the West Coast, as well as to Central in Canada to try to locate these dispensers that we can use and use safely throughout town. We're getting some good leads. We're still working on them. And as soon as we can secure them, we're going to disperse hand sanitizing stations throughout town in our heaviest congested areas. In terms of the water department, we have increased water pumpage for this weekend. We have been filling our tanks to higher elevation. We have weekend calls, on-call services for distribution staff, as well as treatment staff. We also will have limited coverage at the treatment plant throughout the weekend. Sewer department, similar fashion, will have limited coverage throughout the weekend, and we have staff that are ready on call. Your highway department will be out sweeping every morning throughout the weekend, cleaning up from the night before. Your building and ground staff, including your barrels, are on call and prepared to answer any additional calls for service as they come in. As Mr. Gardner has said, we do not monitor Facebook. We do not get the complaints through Facebook. We get them through hotline requests, the number that was shared earlier, as well as through DPW. If you feel you want to use social media, you can go on the DPW Facebook page and send it a message, an instant message, and that will go directly to my phone, and we will answer that as those calls come in. In terms of transfer station as well as sanitation, the transfer station remains on its summer schedule. We are open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is with the exception of holidays. So on Saturday, July 4th, the transfer station will be open from 7 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. On Friday, your trash will be picked up as regularly scheduled. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Next, we have Health Director Morgan Clark and the Board of Health Chair Stephen Katcharinas, and they'll discuss issues related to health compliance, the emergency order, and changes to state guidelines.
What do you say?
Hi, this is Morgan Clark, the Health Director. I'm just going to give a couple of notes about how we are actively working on all aspects of public health to keep us all healthy and to be prepared when cases appear. We've spent the past couple of months meeting regularly with our frontline workers and social service agencies, public health groups, and local churches so that we can best meet needs and be prepared as cases reappear. We are concerned about frontline workers, those at high risk, and people of color and other marginalized communities who often have limited access to healthcare. And we are definitely ensuring that we balance the desire to open businesses safely with the health and safety of everyone. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Steve Katcharinas, the chair of the Board of Health.
Thanks, Morgan. And thanks for the opportunity to be here to talk with you. So we have a number of competing points of view in town, and we have been working since early March to try to find ways to, with consensus, move forward. And the current order that's in place, which is more restrictive than the order from the governor, it goes further than the order from the governor and provides mandatory mask areas on Commercial Street, as well as not allowing certain activities that we have deemed too risky to allow this summer. And in doing that, there are a number of businesses that have been affected. There are a number of people in town who feel we've gone too far. At the same time, we realize that there are people who think that our enforcement procedures are not strong enough, that the rules don't go far enough. And what I want to say to everyone is that we're trying to balance all of the perspectives in the community and try to come out with the right thing, which for us means prioritizing first and foremost the health of everyone. And secondarily, as we have opened, we have done everything we can to allow businesses to open with protective measures that are rational, that are related to reducing the spread of the virus. And we've had good success. We don't think that we will be at zero cases all summer. We are prepared for cases, but we have had protective measures in place that we feel are necessary. I want to address enforcement because I know that that's something that people are concerned about. And I see my friends and colleagues and townsfolk telling me on Facebook that we just simply need to issue a $300 fine to each person. That's actually not what the governor's order permits. So we're enforcing primarily the governor's order, and everything that we're doing is all in connection with the processes that are laid out, which involves first a verbal warning that's documented, secondly, a written warning, which is documented, obviously, and then there is the opportunity for a fine, which can be contested in court. And of course, in response to any part of this procedure, a person can simply say that they have a medical condition that exempts them from the requirement. And by law, that's the end of the conversation. We can't go any further and we won't go any further. So when we looked at this conundrum of a fairly roundabout enforcement process, we decided that the best thing that we could do was to try and get as much compliance voluntarily as we could. And as the chief discussed, and we work very closely with the chief and the police force to do this in the right way. This is a behavior change campaign, and it's one that's gone on pretty quickly. And from my perspective, it's been pretty effective. I do understand that not everyone sees it that way, and you're certainly entitled to your own perspective. However, when we look at the entire spectrum of the public's requests for us to take action or not to take action, and when we look at the impact of that action and the challenge of having a community of transient people, then that's where we end up. And so that's our perspective, and we appreciate the support that we've gotten from so many people in the community for the things that we are doing. And with that, I will turn it back over to the town manager.
Thank you, Steve. So we also have our transportation coordinator, Erin Ellis, here, and she'll be able to answer any questions, although she is has newly taken it over from our past transportation coordinator, Eric Sussman. So she is on the line also, as well as our tourism director, Anthony Picello, is also with us. I want to take a moment to thank the Select Board for their due diligence and hard work on trying to make sure that we have policies in place that keep this town safe. I know I get a lot of their calls and questions, and they work tirelessly to make sure that we are operationally following what their expectations are to keep this town safe. So I want to thank them for their support of myself and the staff as we work hard to keep you safe. So with that, I would like to go to opening questions. I do believe, let's see, it's 7:30 and we have an end at 8:30. Amy, do you have any written questions?
I did not receive any written questions this time.
Okay, then can we open the phones? If you would like to share or ask a question, we do ask you to keep the time down to a minimum of 3 minutes so that we can get through as many questions as we can. And it is *6 to unmute. So if you would unmute yourself, state your name and your question. I'll recognize you and you can say your question.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Don.
Don?
Yes.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
What's your question?
Oh, I have a comment. Let me, as I turn the phone down on the TV, I just have a comment, if it's time for a comment.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for joining us.
My name is Don, and I'm involved with the Provincetown Portuguese Festival, and I just have one thing to offer. We do have Provincetown Portuguese Festival banners up on Portuguese Square along the lights. We would be willing to offer, when we replace those banners, we would be more than glad to replace those banners that would welcome visitors and ask them to please conform and follow the guidelines to keep the community of Provincetown safe. And I want to thank you for all the work you've done.
Thank you very much, Don.
You're welcome.
Have a great
Hi.
Night.
Hi, can I jump in?
Yes, your name, please.
Hi, it's Carolyn Kramer. I live on Pleasant Street.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to make a statement. If I've got my full 3 minutes, that would be great. Since April, I've been following Facebook, and I've been following what our town has been wanting to convey to the town manager, the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Health, and to the police chief and the Recovery Coalition, and it's now July 1st, and we still don't know what your plan is. We have absolutely no idea how the town plans to enforce your mandatory mask wearing between the absurd hours of 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And there are probably thousands of comments on Facebook from what I would call the real leadership of this town, who are the business leaders, who have been trying to convey to all of you that we need enforcement. Now, according to the town website, the most important line in there is the oath that the police department takes, which is to protect us, to serve us, to protect us, and to protect life. And for any other time in the last 100 years, we have needed the protection of the police department and the town manager and the select board and the Board of Health. It is now. My question is, why do we have a sign that is the size of a parking, no parking zone sign in the town? There are a few. And yet, you have no plan on how to enforce it. Why is it so difficult for the select board to vote tonight and say, we would like the police force to enforce, the police department to enforce the wearing of masks, so God forbid we don't have the same situation that we had on Saturday night with an 81-year-old man who had to protect himself and had to wait for 15 minutes for a policeman to show up. And Chief Golden never showed up that night. He never showed up the following day to find out how George was. I find the whole thing reprehensible. And my question again is, and this is the overwhelming question of thousands of people in this town, how are you planning to enforce the wearing of masks so you keep your oath to protect us?
Thank you, Carolyn. You packed a lot into that statement. First, I want to say we are here and we have been giving you a plan. And I hear that you would like more. I'm going to first ask Steve Katcherinas to repeat or address a couple of his comments around the around answering why and what we're doing. I also want to remind people that we had several joint meetings with the Select Board and the Board of Health in discussing masks and enforcement. And they had made a decision and then also came back and reviewed that decision on how they were to move forward and handle masks wearing on Commercial Street. And they had many people call in. We had a lot of input, and the Select Board and Board of Health chose to continue with the same mandatory mask that's above and beyond what the governor's order is. And I do also want to stress to make sure that people do understand that outside of the 9 to 9 and outside of the bangs to Pleasant Street, it is still the governor's order that you either social distance or wear a mask. So I do want to make sure everyone understands that we don't believe that you shouldn't be wearing a mask if...
That's an untrue statement, Robin. It is not an or. It is not an or wear a mask or social distance. It is when you cannot social distance, like if you're walking down the street alone, you don't have to wear a mask. There's no or on Commercial Street. Let's just get that straight.
No. I did. What I said, Carolyn, was that outside of the 9 to 9 or outside of Pleasant Street and to Bangs, it is an either or. Within that area on Commercial Street, it is a requirement, but not outside of the 9 to 9 time or outside of Bangs to Pleasant Streets or the rest of the town. It is still a social distance or wear a mask at this time. Stephen, do you want to say anything additional?
I don't think there's much more to be said about masks. We have a policy.
No, there is. Actually, there is.
Excuse me?
Seriously.
Excuse me.
Seriously.
I'm asking people to either be acknowledged or I will mute you.
So we have a policy. It's been the policy now for almost 2 months. It is being enforced. It's being...
Okay, let's keep this civil, please. Let's keep this civil.
Can we mute everybody, please? So that's where we are on masks. What's the next question, please?
Hi, it's Peter Pettis. Can I ask a question?
Hi, Peter. Yes.
Hi, hello. Robin. Thanks so much. Hi. So, you know, the perception out there is that there's actually been really no enforcement of these rules in Provincetown. I'm not talking about the Board of Health rules. I think you and you all and Morgan have done a terrific job. I'm talking really about the masks. And I think it's, you know, it's led directly, in my view, to the conflict at George's, and it's going to lead to further conflicts if we don't do something about it. And I think there's three things that you can do as soon as possible. So I'm going to try to be constructive. You know, first of all, a communication strategy. You know, for a long time we had those sad little placards. Now we have, you know, at least some permanent signs, but I think they're really inadequate. And I was pleased to hear Don Murphy offer to replace the banners with banners asking people to observe our mask rules. I think you need to put signs in the parking lots. I think you need to aggressively create a communication strategy that, you know, that really lets people know that that masks are required on Commercial Street from 9 to 9. Maybe even perhaps get the arts community to help. They did a great job with those trash barrels. I'm sure they can do some wonderful things with the mask rules. The second is that the police actually need to be involved. I mean, you know, this notion that the police are not going to respond until somebody actually calls them up and asks and reports a non-complier is literally the most absurd thing I heard on this call. I mean, Chief Golden has stated repeatedly that the police department will not enforce mask wearing or social distancing. It's a huge mistake, and you can't let it stand, and the Board of Select and the Board of Health can't let it stand. Unmasked people are walking by police officers who do and say nothing. I mean, I've seen it. This sends a clear message that we don't care about our own rules. And if the police don't care about the rules, why should people think they have to follow them when they go into stores? That's how a situation like George's happens. Workers who are untrained in conflict resolution end up being our only line of defense, and this can't be allowed to persist. I think you need to work with Chief Golden to devise a strategy with an emphasis on education. I'm not talking about tackling people who aren't wearing masks. I'm just talking about, you know, very friendly police officers reminding people that masks are required. And, you know, it's a reminder that we take our rules seriously in Provincetown in the midst of this pandemic. And I'll give you two reasons why I think community policing is most important. You know, first of all, if a police officer had encountered the group who attacked George and informed them that they needed to wear masks, which they weren't apparently all over town, I bet that our highly trained officers would have realized pretty quickly that that group was trouble waiting to happen. Perhaps we could have avoided the entire fiasco that weekend. I mean, that's the main reason. The second reason is that, frankly, if the town gets shut down again, you know, the budgets are going to get cut. Millions of dollars are at risk, and all departments are going to be cut, including the police. And really, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to see this town go through economic harm. You know, finally, I think you need to consider making the mask rule 24/7 on all of Commercial Street. 9 to 9 is apparently, I know it doesn't sound to most of us who live in town like it should be confusing, but it's confusing to most of the people who visit. And now that restaurants are open and maybe bars in the future and hopefully entertainment venues, it no longer really makes sense. A clean 24/7 policy is easier to understand and is completely unambiguous. You all have spoken very eloquently about the need to protect workers, and yet by not enforcing your own rules, you've effectively done nothing. Absolutely, to protect workers. And we've now seen the consequence of that in action at George's. I'd remind you that the reopening of the economy is fragile. Protecting workers protects businesses and stops the economy from getting shut down again. Protecting workers is literally the most pro-business thing you can do as our town leaders. Please don't tell us why none of this can happen. It absolutely can be done. And now is the time for all of you to show leadership.
Okay, Peter, thanks you've so reached much. Your 3 minutes.
I'm done. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Peter. Is there another question or comment?
I have a question.
Please state your name.
I have a question. My name is Shelley.
Shelley?
Is it okay to ask this question?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. A few weeks ago, the the town experimented with closing Commercial Street. I was out there that evening, and it was very quiet, exceedingly quiet. The only people out were me and a couple of very friendly police officers, and that was it. As anyone knows, with the cars, the bikes, the people, the scooters, it is pretty much fiction, if not impossible, to social distance right now. I've tried. I'm out all the time. And by the way, I'm amazed at how well the masks are going. I guess I'm not seeing what other people seem to see, but I'm seeing almost total compliance. But that aside, I'm wondering if you could consider perhaps having this, what was called, termed an experiment, to maybe try it when maybe it may make more sense in the summertime. Right now, obviously you won't be able to do it in time for Saturday, but maybe on a busy weekend now to see what it would be like. Because frankly, social distancing is pretty difficult and challenging when everybody's on the street. And that's all I have to say. I do want to thank Rich Waldo for his attention to the waterfront park. It is looking, the bathrooms are looking much better, and I can't tell you how much that is appreciated.
Thank you very much. Regarding Commercial Street, so you're right. We did a test in June, and we found that we've worked any kinks that we needed to get out for the transition. We found that we did not need it at the time, and we also were not sure how fast the population would increase with our visitors. The select board approved providing our police chief the ability to close the street down if and when, in his discretion, it warranted to be closed. We do have, it is still a certain time. Chief, do you want to talk a little bit about what your thoughts are and how you see closing the street and when you might?
Well, might is a difficult question to answer because it depends on weather, it depends on what else is going on, it depends on how many people visit the community. But we have the ability to close the roads with not a lot of time, and in doing that, we can implement and provide the space that's necessary. Now, the flip side of that is that we have 15 years of experience with closing the road in the summer on Friday and Saturday. Closing the road does one thing, and it does one thing well, and that's it provides people the ability to congregate. Whereas, as weird as it seems out loud, the passing of vehicles keeps people out of the middle of the street. So we have the ability, when the users of the roadway are there in the evening time, to shut it down on short notice. And as much as I'd like to be working 20 hours a day, I rely on our shift supervisors to make that call. But anytime they do make that call, they need to notify me that it's happening so that I'm aware, because every time we implement the road closure, we from time to time get complaints from other neighborhood users.
Thank you, Chief. Next question.
Hi, my name is Francesca.
Hi, Francesca. We'll go with Francesca first, and then Peter Butt after. Francesca?
Thank you. I have a business in town, and I'm downtown at least, you know, 5-6 days a week. My concern is with the signing of masks being required and with the compliance. One is, your average tourist has no idea what Pleasant to Bank Street is on Commercial Street. So I would really urge that when we do sign, that we sign the business district along Commercial Street, not from Banks to Pleasant. That means nothing to 90% of the tourists in town. I would also urge for y'all to consider including in that Lope Square, the pier, the town hall block. And I think if we word it as the business district, it'll make more sense to our visitors. That was one thing. Two is the signs, the Xerox signs that are taped up along Commercial Street. A lot of them have come down. They have not been adequate. I would say that half the people I've asked to put on their masks did not realize at all that they were required along the street and on Commercial Street. So I would urge that we start signing in a big way, banners and along the street on the parking post. The other thing that I just want to say is that when analogies are made between us and the rest of the state to say that businesses have been doing this for a period of time and they're not having the problems we are, let's remember that Provincetown is unique. There's no other place like us in the state right now. Nobody's had this influx of people in such a tight area. When people do not wear masks, they put all of us at risk. As a merchant in town, as a business owner, I am asked to be the mask police. I'd say that 50% of the people who wear a mask are not wearing them properly. In other words, they're not appropriately covering both their mouth and their nose. They think they're in compliance. They mean to be in compliance, but they're not. That's one. Two is people, if it's for health reasons, can't wear it, okay, they really shouldn't be walking around on Commercial Street then. Three is that when we get to the, what I call the indignant ignorance folks, they're the ones that get upset, and they get mad at me. I've seen them get mad at other merchants on the corner around my shop, and I don't feel like I have any town support. In my opinion, I believe that anybody who is employed by the town while they are on the town dollar, while they are working, and they're walking around town, whether it's DPW, whether it's parking attendants.
Okay, you're getting up to 3 minutes.
Et cetera, should all help to enforce the mandatory mask rule in town. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a question or comment? Peter?
My question is, when are we going to sign?
Oh, I'm sorry. Your signage, we ordered signs. We had planned on having them for the 4th of July, which was the kind of next phase. We put a lot of things in place for Memorial Day weekend. Our next target date was July 4th. Those new signs you'll be happy to see went up today. They came in today and were put up. So those taped pink signs are gone, and there are clear signs. And we've added
Robin,
all the way. Okay.
Where is it located?
Hi, Robin. This is Steve Katsourias. I'd like to address a point that was made a bit ago.
Yes, sir.
The perspective of the Board of Health, it's very important to us that the rights of people with disabilities aren't compromised during this. So we were very insistent that the mask policy maintain the exclusion for people who have a disability or a medical reason why they can't wear it. And we do not agree that people with a disability should not be permitted or welcomed on Commercial Street if they can't wear a mask. We have to balance a lot of things here, and the rights of people with disabilities are in our opinion, very important, and we're not going to compromise that.
They should have to maintain 6 feet.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Peter?
Yes, this is Peter Brown. I have a very quick comment. I would invite somebody, you know, on town staff or with the ambassador program ramping up to reach out to Stan, and Stan's probably listening, going, he's forgotten my last name, but I was at a fundraiser at Land's End a few years ago. I ran into Stan's daughter, who was heavily involved in conflict resolution at a level that we normal folks would probably want to avoid, but unarmed civilians in conflict zones, she's with an NGO somewhere. And I saw Stan in the Stop and Shop not too long ago, and I asked him if his daughter was still engaged in this. He said that she was, and I would state that, you know, ambassadors are going to have to learn to very deftly handle conflict resolution instances of, you know, you never know how people are going to react over this massacre, believe me. But I think that it would behoove everybody to get a hold of Stan, if his daughter's around, have her just come and talk to the ambassadors and lay out some of the basic underlying strategies of conflict resolution. And that's my comment for the day.
Thank you. That is something to look into.
Question from Sheila McGinnis.
You're muted already.
Hello?
Go ahead, Sheila.
Thank you. I have a few things I'd like to say, please. First, but my biggest question is perhaps to the health people, is understanding the logic of the 9-to-9. I did hear people say that that's already been decided and there's no question about it, but I'd like to understand why after 9 o'clock at night, when the street is most heavily crowded, oftentimes there's no masking required. Secondly, I'd like to hear about the signs that went up today, and they're much better than the signs that were there. Thank you for that. But I was curious why, and maybe I missed it too, why there was no information given ahead of time about when we could, that there were going to be other signs and that we could expect them. So either I'm kind of out of the loop, which is certainly possible, and but secondly, it made me think during this call, what other plans are forthcoming, or what other plans are on the table at this point for, you know, future concerns that may be coming up? Let's say we have other infections that arise and that sort of thing. What other plans are in the works? Because I think that one of the questions or one of the issues that people are having, you know, on the Facebook things, for example, is not knowing things. So, you know, we're reasonable people, we're smart people, and we say, gee, those signs are on the ground, they're ugly, and they're disappearing. So that's got to get fixed. We know this, but had we known that signs were coming, that there might have been less angst about that. And again, maybe I was out of the loop and it was my own fault. But the other thing that I wanted to ask about was police intervention. And you know, I have the greatest respect for our police department and have already crowed about it on Facebook as we're talking here with the response times on that situation that was in downtown. Today, for example, going down the street in a car with a face mask on, my partner stopped and asked some young women where their face masks were. And they, of course, you know, said whatever they said to her, which wasn't, you know, positive, let's put it that way. And she said, well, you know, really, I just wanted to let you know that there's an officer right down in that next corner, so you might want to put them on. And they did. This only says to me that we do have, in this country, a lot of us have great amount of respect for police and also for the enforcement power that they are gifted with. And so that was a great example.
Okay, Sheila,
think,
you're coming up on your 3 minutes.
The kind of power that can come behind police intervening before things become a problem. So I would encourage more of that. Can I get some answers, though, on the question?
So one of your questions was about signs and whether or not we were informing people and information and if we had any other things that were happening. So one of the points of today's session was to give you information and let you know what's been going on. Generally, I am updating the select board as to what we're doing. Certainly, they've had a couple of meetings where they talked about masks. I have in my reports let them know that we were ordering signs, we were ordering masks. We had gone to the VSB and tried to get a campaign funded and to do exactly what Don had asked about, doing the Portuguese flags, which was not funded. And we're still going to try to pursue that but we had been waiting on that approval. So I think the most of your information that you may be wanting would be in paying attention to the select board meetings, because I know for masks, they talked about it April 27th, they voted. Then they reaffirmed a vote on May 4th, and they did another emergency order. They had it on the agenda April 27th. So there has been a lot of discussion.
Oh,
and that's usually where I'm giving them an update on what the operations is happening. So that's one place. We also put quite a bit of information on our town website, so you can take a look at that. There is a COVID on the front page. If you click to that, you can see messages. You can see the daily count, whether or not we have any cases. If you go to the Board of Health website page, they have the guidelines, they have changes, they have recommendations, they have posters that businesses can download and post in their businesses that remind people that masks are mandatory when they go into public buildings. We do have a lot of information. If there's anything that anyone's looking for, you can contact any department, and you're certainly welcome always to contact me directly. And if I don't know the information, I will get the information for you. But we do try to get information out. We have also started putting information out. When we put it on the website, we start to push it out to the community pages. What we're not doing is watching Facebook and all of its community pages. It's a great resource for you to share information, but the town is not monitoring that, and we do not answer questions on that. We just don't have the ability and the resources to do that. So I have been scanning it past things here and there. I do pay attention to what happens and what some of the issues are, because that's important to me. But it's not a place where you'll find town staff making responses. So we are open. We are ready, willing, and able to give you information at any point that you would like it. So thank you for your question.
Hi, Robin. This is Steve, and I'd like to respond to a part of Sheila's thoughtful question, if I could. And thank you, Sheila, for the question. So you asked what we would do if things changed and we were facing rising cases. And it's a really great question, and it's one that we try to talk about every chance we get, because when I hear people say that there's no plan, then this is part of the answer. It's not the whole answer. But what we are looking at is our community's ability to respond, and it's across kind of all sectors, from healthcare, emergency transportation, so our ambulance service, the police department, of course, DPW, and if there were to be cases and those departments or the Department of Health and Enforcement were to be crippled by cases, then we would be looking at changing. We would also look at overall cases. So even if all those departments were somehow spared, but we had a large number of cases that were more than our health department could serve, then we would be looking at rolling backwards from the current, we're currently at phase two, step two, we'd be looking at going backwards. And we would do that in a public meeting, I believe we would do it in cooperation, the Board of Health and the Select Board. And we would, of course, share all the information, we would hear from the public, and then we would make a decision about where to go. And the point of relying on the governor's structure is that it's well known, at least in the state, it's well known to the businesses. We all sort of remember where we were at certain phases. So if we went back to all the way back to phase one, we know what that looks like. It's takeout. If we go back to phase two, step one, there's no indoor dining. So we would figure out where, and hopefully we would do it in a way that was sort of stepping backwards. In other words, hopefully we wouldn't get suddenly overwhelmed and have to go back all the way to step one. But we could, and that could be the situation, and we want everyone to know that that's a possibility. But we would use the governor's process to do that, and we would back up, hopefully, one step at a time until things got under control and we were able to take care of everybody and, of course, make sure that our town government was in a position to continue to provide services. So that is part of the plan, and I'm happy that you asked the question.
This is Bill. Can I, am I on?
Hi, Bill. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Robin. First, yes, I want to comment. First of all, I think we're very lucky to have you. Your experience in Central Massachusetts was very positive and useful. And even having this session is exactly what a town manager should be doing. Peter Pettis, 15 minutes ago, laid out three very reasonable, not outrageous, recommendations. And sadly, no one answered him. He asked the question, and no one answered him. So could I ask you to answer his a response to each of his three recommendations, because they seem so reasonable about wearing a mask?
I do not have those three recommendations written down next to his name. Would you like, Peter, would Peter like to repeat them, or would you like to repeat the questions?
Just very quickly, he could repeat them and you could answer them.
Because I don't remember if they were questions, so.
Well, they were recommended. Is Peter still on the line?
While we're waiting to see if Peter's back on the line, let me also add that we did receive that some letters were sent to Select Board, as well as myself, and we took a look at those comments, and we've one of the Select Board letters have gone to the Select Board. This is not a Select Board meeting. This is about the operations. But we did take a look at some of those.
What are you doing?
Tried to make sure that we had hit some of those points in our presentation. So I do just want you to know that if you had sent a letter to the Select Board, we were paying attention to it, and I believe some of this answered. Someone is not muted. Please mute your phone if you are not speaking.
Hi, Robin. It's Peter Pettis.
Hi, Peter.
Really quickly. Hi.
Sure.
Thanks. It was a much more aggressive communication strategy, including banners, better signage, kiosks, basically a full court press, and perhaps getting the arts community involved. The second element was the police being proactive and actually walking the beat and doing community policing and not waiting to be called about compliance violations, but actually actively engaging with the community. And then the third was considering making the rule 24/7 on all of Commercial Street rather than a confusing 9-to-9 on only a part of Commercial Street. Thanks, and sorry about that.
No worries. I didn't respond, not because I didn't hear you, but because I didn't hear a question in there. And we are, so a couple of things. I did respond to the banners. I talked a little bit about what we had put together for our signage, that we had tried to work on the banners for replacing when the Portuguese festival flags come down. And we are working on that. We're making some posters for the ambassador program. And we also are willing to make posters if businesses want them. And I know that we had a campaign and someone going around at one point asking if businesses wanted posters. Police not waiting to be called. They actually are speaking with people. They have masks. They are handing out masks. If you see a police officer walk by someone without a mask, they may have already interacted with them. The person might have said that they have a medical condition. You would not know that driving by. So I do want to put that out. I also want to put out, and I know Steve talked about a medical condition, but I also want to let you know there are a lot of different reasons why people will not wear masks. And it's not just to be obstinate. There's people with COPD. There's people who have issues just emotionally having something on their face. And there's a level of respect that we need to give to those people. And do they absolutely need to be saying every time, I'm sorry, I have a medical condition? These officers may know who they are. So I do want you to recognize that that might be a possibility and you might not know or have that information. Regarding the having the mandatory mask called 24/7, As I said before, that has been discussed between, that is a policy decision that has been discussed between the Board of Health and the Select Board several times. They have had hearings, they have had speakers come and talk, and they have had a lot of public input. And at this point, this is what they've decided is reasonable. They have always said that they will relook at it if something changes, and certainly as we march what happens over the 4th of July, you know, that may be, it may come up again for another discussion if it seems appropriate. But I also keep just being amazed that we have 95%. We have probably the highest mask compliance, I think, anywhere in the state. I have gone out off island, and people are not taking it as seriously as we are. And I really think it's not because police are walking around giving tickets or telling people they should put their mask on. I think it goes back to what Steve said. We are creating a culture here of welcoming, of people being respectful of each other, and that masks matter. And we're talking about it, and we are talking to people. So I do just want to say that, but I guess, you know, I know that there are select board members on the call, and they are hearing you. And I will have a conversation with the board whether or not they would want to take this back up again to look at extending it. So I hope I've answered your questions.
Hello.
Okay, let's have one at a time, please.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Chuck Bergman.
Oh, you're still all talking at once.
So I'm going to ask that we go to someone new, and if you have spoke already, that you wait and hold until everyone has a chance to speak.
My name is Greg.
This is Chuck.
Ask your question.
Okay, so I have a male and female. I have Chuck, and could I ask the woman's name?
This is Laura.
One at a time, please.
I'm
Chuck,
I'm Karen.
And then Karen. Okay, so let's go with
and
Chuck.
This is Laura.
Chuck,
and this is
Karen,
Sean.
And Laura. Okay.
Hello. Hi. Chuck first?
Yes, please.
Hi, this is Chuck Rignan, and again, I appreciate what everybody's doing. That I know summers are tough in P-Town in the best of times, and certainly now it's even more difficult. A couple of suggestions I have, and I understand, you know, that the emergency order is put in place by the Board of Select, but you all are the ones left to operationalize it, and I think sharing with them in the summer on, maybe taking into account some of the operational issues that maybe need to be clarified in the order. And I'd point them to looking at the recent mask order that was issued in Nantucket, a place that is probably quite similar to P-Town in terms of being a contained group of people in a very small place. I think the main difference, if I read the Provincetown, you know, what's available on the web, which goes to the emergency order, is that the mask section, first of all, is very far down in the order. The next thing is that the mask section is largely devoted to, almost entirely, to wearing masks on Provincetown between the two streets and between the hours of 9 and 9. And there's only one final sentence in the order that says, and, you know, otherwise you should comply with the governor's order. So if you're not from Massachusetts, you may not be familiar with the governor's order. In most other cities, they lead with, you should be having mandatory masks when you cannot be 6 feet apart at all times. And mandatory when in a historic district, a commercial district, or in our case, between these streets. So I think we might want to revisit the writing of that order to make it clearer to outsiders that we do expect that the governor's order of routine mask wearing is the norm, and the exception is in this one area. The way it reads is it does make it sound to people, and I've had friends that have read it, that it sounds like it's only limited to this, and the rest of the town is not necessarily that concerned with the mask, even though I know that wasn't the intent. So I think revisiting that might be helpful. The other thing, and not having seen the signs, if it's going to make it clearer, is, again, we have two arbitrary streets that most people don't know where they are and what's between. And I think if we could think of something, and I don't know, you know, Public Works can address, you know, I know we have this very special asphalt on Commercial Street that we don't want to block for water drainage, but if it's possible to paint a line down the street to then reference people that we can then, you know, this is the zone, that's the mask mandatory zone, to make it easy for people. And maybe to make it fun for people, at either end of that, put balloons arching across the street to make it a bit more festive, but driving home the point for people that between these two sets of balloons, it's mandatory mask wearing during the day. So it doesn't have to be so difficult. And I recognize nobody wants to go around. And I also agree that it's not all of our place to be telling other people that they should be wearing masks. You have to really be careful with that. But I think if we have the official announcements make it clear, that might make it clearer to other people coming in who have good intentions. They're not necessarily trying not to wear masks. They just don't realize that outside of these areas, they're still expected to wear them.
Thank you, Chuck. That is an interesting, I like the idea of the line painting, although my DPW director might be rolling his eyes at this point. But making something fun and making it more visible is certainly something that we can work on moving forward with in the next couple of weeks. Thank you for that suggestion. And you also mentioned the order, and I don't know if Steve wants to make any comments regarding that.
I don't know what more to say about it, just that we are continuing to monitor it. Changing the order is one of the options when we get cases. I will say that in Nantucket's case, I believe that what prompted them to take a tougher stance was a sudden outbreak. I think it was only like 3 to 5 cases, but they had kind of controlled it. And they felt that and I can't remember the exact number, but it was something like 3 to 5 cases was enough that they wanted to really jump in and take some tougher measures. And I would like to think that we will be as protective of the community if it should happen like that here. So we are watching it, and we will act if we need to.
I am...
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for holding this meeting. Listen, this is about the fifth time I've spoken about this. I want to know what the objection is, really, to having a mask order everywhere, 24/7, and then having, like they have on Route 6, when you hit a high enforcement level, you know, when it goes from 40 to 25, to maybe have signs like that. I mean, this virus, I have to say, I'm pretty well informed about this. It's everywhere. It's aerosol. It's droplets. It's everywhere. And people do not respond to ambiguity. As the gentleman before said, you have this street, that street, this street, that street. Visitors don't know that. What people know is this is how it is. This is not how it is. There is no gray. I mean, this is a terrible virus. You don't want to get it. And as far as people who have medical reasons for not wearing masks, if you have COPD, you better think twice about going out on the streets of Provincetown. You get this, you're going to be a goner. And I really want to know what the reasoning is. I know Susan Troyan has talked about, oh, it's fine. I just don't understand when you have mask orders everywhere, 24/7, why this little town cannot do it. And I don't see that being welcoming. We want to welcome people. Wear a mask. Here's your free one. I just don't understand what the resistance is to wearing a 24/7 mask order with high enforcement regions by the police with ticketing, a warning, fine. You know, I mean, around Election Day, there were many people who were not wearing masks. So just tell me what the rationale is for not having something really clear that everyone can follow, as opposed to, you know, this street, that street. Not that, you know, having it very confusing for everyone, including townies. I'd appreciate the answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. I'm going to defer to our policymakers, Steve, of the Board of Health.
So I appreciate your question, Laura. So the way that policies are made, it involves a lot of different perspectives. We hear from the public, different members of the Board of Select and the Board of Health have discussed different options. And at the time that this order was put in place, it was, I think, about 7 weeks ago when it was first put in place by the Select Board. And subsequently, we considered whether to, there was a proposal that we expanded, as you suggested, townwide. I think, and Robin, you can correct me, but I think that the Select Board received something like 165 letters and emails in opposition to that. And at the time, the governor had also implemented an order in the interim that made it mandatory to wear a mask where you could not socially distance. That is the current state law. And that is the law in town everywhere but Commercial Street from Banks to Pleasant, where we have a mandatory order from 9 to 9, regardless of whether you can socially distance. So we've taken the governor's order, we've amplified it and gone beyond it, which we've done in a number of cases throughout our response to COVID in a specific area. And I hear people who say it's ridiculous that it's from 9 to 9, but rules have limits. And at the time that the 10 of us met jointly to make this rule, it seemed like the most reasonable rule. I presume that we'll continue to discuss it, and when we have more cases, it might make sense that we look at changing it. But for now, this was the decision based on the input from the public, the comparing the governor's requirements to what the Select Board had already done, and adopting a joint order that was unanimously approved by the very diverse perspectives of the Select Board and the Board of Health. And so it's the current rule. And I would also suggest that if enforcing the current order seems to some people to be too difficult, making it every byway in the town is going to make enforcement even more difficult. So we have to balance, when we're making policies that are narrowly tailored to achieve the objective. If the objective is to stop the spread of COVID, and in lots of places in town it's possible to be 6 foot distant, then the mask is a secondary step. It's not the primary measure, and it never has been. Social distancing, washing your hands have always been the first and second lines of defense. Masking was added later, by the CDC and ultimately by the governor and by town government as an additional protective measure where social distancing wasn't possible. And for clarity, we designed a part of town where from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. there is a mandatory mask order regardless of whether one can socially distance. And so I understand that not everyone likes it, but I will say that for every person who is vehemently opposed to the current rule because it's too restrictive, there's somebody who's vehemently opposed that it's not restrictive enough. And as I said in the beginning, we're trying to focus on protecting people and doing it in a way that is the least restrictive but most effective way, and that requires balance. And so I expect that we're never going to make everyone happy. And I'm sorry about that, but that's kind of where our society is right now, is that there's a lot of controversy, there's a lot of disputes and disagreements, and I try to remember that the points of view across the spectrum are important, but at the end of the day, we have to try to find something that is both effective and enforceable and reasonable, and I think that our current order is that.
This is Karen Jack. I'm hoping I can jump
Hello,
in.
Hello, Greg.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on, please. Next, we have Karen.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I have some questions to address to Chief Golden, if I may.
Okay.
Chief Golden, I'm struck by the emphasis on masks only and not the emphasis on social distancing and crowd control, which I think has been part of the problem for our business owners. So I have really three questions. As of now, what's the role of our offices in enforcing crowd control downtown? And as of now, how many officers at the time are doing community policing, meaning that there is signed parole on foot downtown now?
So I tried to give some of that information in my initial statement. All of your police officers are assigned at various times to be downtown. Your seasonal people are assigned there proprietarily for 8 hours a night. The issue with regard to crowd control is one that we're constantly evaluating, because June is kind of a weird month where we have a bunch of people around during the day and not so many people around after 9 or 10 at night. So,
I think I wasn't clear about that. I don't mean crowd control in that way. I mean, if there is a problem with a crowd on Commercial Street, what is the role of our officers getting involved without having to be called?
So you need to give me an example of what it is that we're talking about. It's not illegal. It's not illegal for people to get together.
I think there were lines of patrons ordering food or wanting to get into restaurants where the 6 feet are not maintained, and the crowd can get rowdy sometimes. That seems to be the case with a lot of young guys that are seen on Commercial Street. I say this with all respect, Chief Golden, it does not appear there are officers walking the street and doing the beat on Commercial Street most of the time. I understand and respect that there's prompt response to calls, but I don't see a police presence in the way that I'm asking you how many officers at a time are currently assigned to parole on foot downtown as of now.
All right, so again, during my opening statement, and you may have missed it, you only have X amount of officers. You don't have an army of officers. We only have so many. And for permanent officers, you actually have less than you think. If everybody shows up to work for a shift, the minimum shift is 3. If the supervisor is there, there's 4. That's all there's ever been.
Okay.
This year?
Okay. Uh-huh.
This year, we usually in years during the summer, we augment with seasonal people for a myriad of reasons. The number of those employees were reduced. So if you were used to seeing uniformed seasonal police officers standing about every block and in the corner, every block and every street corner, you're not going to see that this year because I can't make the math work. We don't have the bodies.
So my final question is, and thank you, I appreciate your response. It seems as though our officers are reluctant or resistant to enforcing, to being involved in COVID regulations. So my final question is, if our town manager were to instruct a different kind of police presence and a different kind of police involvement in high-impact areas like Commercial Street, are you comfortable with that, and would you be on board with that?
Well, I started from the beginning that I believe that a community concern should involve the community and not just some points of view, but everybody's point of view should be taken in and given full share value. And we have continued to approach, and I said in my opening statement that people wanted to focus on the part where I said that we would respond to complaints. The other part that they forgot was when I was talking about how our community-based approach is with regard to education. And with education is conversation. We have handouts, and all of your police people carry additional face masks to try to mitigate problems with it that you were talking about. But the reality is that we are coming up on what would normally be high season. We are not seeing a traditional influx of people, but we're seeing way more people than I potentially thought we were going to see in July. We were prepared for that. And we adjusted the police department based on what we see, but we can only do so much.
Okay.
And just we have not had the ability to have our health ambassadors be out and be a resource to the community. And that's something that's going to change and start this week, and hopefully with support from the police department, things will get better.
Okay, we've hit our 8:30 mark, so I think we are...
Can I ask a question, please?
No, we've hit our 8:30 mark, which is the end of the session, and I'd like to thank everybody who called in and participated in this call. And Robin, do you have any last words?
I do. If there's anyone out there that still has questions, all of us, we have departments, we have phone numbers. You can reach us at any time. We are here. So if you still have questions, please contact us directly, and we'll be glad to get information from you. We are hearing your suggestions, and we will answer your questions. So thank you very much.
And thank you again, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you.